The gospel reading today, when our Lord speaks about himself ultimately, but the master coming back from a wedding, and the servants don't know when that's going to happen. And he tells us it could happen in the third watch of the night or in the fourth. So that would imply somewhere between 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock in the morning. So his servants are waiting for him to come back. Didn't come back at 9 or 10 or even midnight. The Lord's telling us something here. Number one, he's telling us that it's going to be a long time before he returns. Of course, long time is a relative term. I'm sure back in the 3rd and 4th century, they're saying, hey, it's already been 300 or 400 years. It's a long time. And now we're saying, hey, it's already been 2,000 years. It's a long time. And 1,000 years from now, they're going to be saying it's been 3,000 years and it's a long time. We don't know. The problem here is that when we know when the sunset and the sunrise are supposed to be, we can figure out when the 3rd and 4th watch of the night are. We don't know when the sunset and sunrise are talking about here. So we have no idea. Are we in the 3rd or 4th watch of the night? I don't know. Maybe it's not even midnight yet. We have no idea. So that makes a little bit more of a challenge. But we can also look at this within our own lives. It's the same issue. We don't know when the Lord is going to return. And neither do we know if we're in the 3rd watch or the 4th of our lives. Now, if you're getting to be an old geezer like me, you can probably figure, well, it's at least the 3rd watch of the night by now. But we don't know. Maybe it's the 4th. Maybe I'll have a heart attack tomorrow and die. We don't know. So it's a difficult thing to say. But what tends to happen, and the Lord even makes this clear, if the servants are supposed to be watching for their master's return, and he's delayed in coming, the natural thing that happens is they start getting sloppy. You think about a guard who's supposed to be at attention. Initially, they're going to be pretty solid about it. And after a while, after a few hours of standing there at attention, yeah, they start getting tired. Maybe they start getting a little bit sloppy. That's what we tend to do too. The early part of the spiritual life can be pretty exciting. Lots of consolations, lots of fun, lots of wonderful things, lots of new insights. And then we get a little deeper into it. And then it dries up and it's dark. Not a lot of new insights. It just kind of becomes routine and ordinary. And then we go deeper still. And it's darker and drier. The Lord seems like he's a million miles away. It feels like he's forgotten about us. It feels sometimes like perhaps he's even abandoned us. And then the question is, what are we going to do? The early stages, if things got kind of dry, yeah, it's still pretty exciting. It's still fun. There's still hope that maybe something really wonderful is going to happen in prayer today. After a few years of nothing extraordinary happening in prayer, you get to the point of not assuming that anything's going to be happening. And then the question is, am I still going to go to prayer with the right disposition? In fact, even what I just mentioned about the early part of the spiritual life is the wrong disposition. Because if I go to prayer wanting something exciting to happen, looking for a consolation or whatever, then I'm going to prayer for a totally selfish reason. We have to be going to prayer and living our lives day to day out of charity, out of love for God and neighbor. And so am I going to continue to go to prayer even when I expect fully that it's going to be dry and dark and the Lord isn't going to be around? So it feels obviously the Lord is right there, but it doesn't feel that way. There are no consolations. Sometimes it's maybe extremely painful. And am I going to continue to have the charity for the Lord? Now, even outside of the spiritual life, look at what's going on in the world. It wasn't that long ago. In fact, it was in my lifetime when I used to hear those words in the gospel, when the Son of Man returns, will he find any faith on earth? And that made absolutely no sense to me as a kid, because I looked around and the church was packed. You couldn't find a place to sit. It's like, why would we be asking this question? Well, here we are, 50 years later. When the Son of Man returns, will he find any faith on earth? It's getting less and less. We're getting sloppy. Things don't happen in our time. Oh, sure, there was that little bump back around 2000 when everybody thought the computers were going to break down and the world was coming to an end for some odd reason, as though we've been on computers from the beginning. Yeah, 1949 is when the first computer was built, so, you know, this is pretty new. Somehow we think we can't live without it, and the world's going to come to an end if we don't have them. So, yeah, there was this little bump. People got kind of excited back around 2000, and well, when nothing happened, they all fell away. Because it wasn't deep. It's just on the surface. You can go to lots of Christian places, and essentially each week they're going to have a pep rally. And you can walk away saying, yes! This is so exciting, and I'm so emotionally charged, and I just love Jesus so much. Once again, that's surface level. It doesn't go any deeper than the skin. The Lord wants depth. He wants true love. He doesn't want excited things. He doesn't want all kinds of emotion. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for somebody who truly loves him. And someone, therefore, who's going to be vigilant, not looking for the excitement for themselves because this is so fun, but looking for somebody who truly loves. You know, for those of you who are married, that's not always fun. It's not always exciting. You know, think about married life. Maybe those exciting romantic times, they happen 2, 3, maybe 4 times a year. And this isn't something that day to day is overly exciting. Sure, at the beginning of the marriage maybe, but as it goes along, kind of settles in. And that's where the love is going to either really grow or it is going to go backwards. In other words, we're going to either become selfish, go backwards, or we're going to learn to be selfless. We're going to learn to serve this person when it doesn't feel good, when it's not exciting, when it's not fun. That's when the love really grows. The same is true with our spiritual life. It's going to grow the most in those times when things are difficult, painful, dark, dry, whatever you want to say. And are we going to continue to come to prayer to love the Lord? Am I going to continue to live my life for the Lord, rather than saying, you know what, this is dry and dark, there's nothing exciting, but boy, does the world have a lot to offer that's fun and exciting and glitz and glamour and all the other stuff. Maybe I'll kind of wade into that a little bit. Then we've walked away from our Lord. Again, we're looking for ourselves and not for him. Love is the focus is on the other, not on the self. That's what this is all about. So it's not just a question of whether we're going to be vigilant, whether we're going to be like the servants who are getting sleepy. But he's looking for the love. Has the love grown cold? Has the love grown sterile? Has the love gone away and been replaced by selfishness? He wants that true and deep love, and that only comes with time. We have to demonstrate it, not to him because he already knows, to ourselves because we have no idea. This is where that can really grow and develop. This is where our lives and our virtue can really grow. That's what God is looking for from us. So, as time goes along, are we in the third or fourth watch of the night? We don't know, and it doesn't matter. All that matters is that we are seeking to love God with our whole heart and soul and strength. To the degree that we have developed the spiritual life and grown, that's what he's going to expect that we're going to be loving him with. And that means if we can do that today, tomorrow it's going to be even more and more and more. That's what he's looking for. Not because he gets something out of it, because he doesn't. Because he loves us so much that he wants us to become the people that he created us to be. People made in his image and likeness. People made to love, to be loved. He's there to love you. The goal of our life is to love him.